Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Wednesday afternoon, August 20th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. A new survey finds adults are increasingly choosing kids' meals, and not just because of the price. We'll take a closer look at our next segment, but first, there's a lot of action in retail today. Target shares tumble as it picks a new CEO, Lowe's beats expectations, and Pop Mart climbs on Labubu plush toy popularity. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Bob Phibbs, CEO of The Retail Doctor based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And one of the great things about having young kids, Bob, is that your kids will come home and tell you about the latest trend, and it's some absolutely nonsense word, and then you realize that the entire world is revolving around it, and it is a billion-plus dollar creation. And that is the story of Labubu.
Yes, and Pop Mart in general has been an amazing story. You know, it's traded in Hong Kong, and they reported their sales of just kind of astronomical. But what's really interesting is those funny little toys, each one of those little characters. So, and I don't have any of them. You probably have them all. But Labubu and Skull Panda and Molly and another one, each of those have 140 million sales for each one of those little items. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
What makes them so unique? Why are people just head over heels in love with Labubu? What is it about this particular toy that drives up the demand?
Well, I'm not a psychologist because it's a funny looking little monster kind of thing. But, you know, look back to Birkin. When the Birkin bag, they had that little tag that they put on many years ago. That was a popular thing to do. And maybe this is the new lipstick. What do we call it? The lipstick
index
phenomenon, where, you know, they would judge how well the economy was by whether women were buying lipstick or not. Look, Gen Z is going out for dessert instead of dinner, and finding this little doll for $30. I'm sure you've seen them on Michigan Avenue all lined up at Pop Mart. It's a pretty easy, affordable, fun luxury for for Gen Z. But does it have staying power? I don't know.
And this is a good segue into the larger retail discussion, because even though people are going to Lulu for Labubu, I just made that one up, Bob. But it seems like people are staying away from Target to the point where they've switched out their CEO. And of course, that brand has really been through it in the last couple of years. And what's going on at Target?
Well, yes, they've announced that the new CEO is going to be Michael Fiddelke, I think is how you say his name. He was the COO, been there for 20 years. A lot of people are concerned that he didn't go outside for this, because Brian Cornell was originally an outsider who came in 11 years ago when the stock was pretty much the way it is now. And, you know, their traffic is down. Certainly their DEI stance, it's almost as if he had this change of personality because they were the leaders. If you remember when the bathroom ban was out in Houston, they're like, no, we're going to do equal for everybody. And everybody's like, yay. And they were this progressive company. And then they're donating $1 million to Trump's inauguration. DEI goes by the next month. Their sales traffic is still down by like roughly 4% every month. And so the idea that this new CEO, he's not taking place till February, and Brian Cornell is still going to be the executive chairman. So he's not going anywhere. And the problem is they got a hard Q4 coming up because the leaves are not looking good in the teacup for him. As more and more people decide, I'd rather just go to Walmart or Amazon and avoid Target. And it's a big deal. I mean, it's serious problems, you know.
Bob Phibbs, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York, thank you for joining us today. Find him online at theretaildoctor.com. Coming up, why more adults are deciding to order kids' meals.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Nearly half of adults order kids' meals for a variety of reasons. And joining us to discuss why they're making that choice is R.J. Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Palo Alto-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Hi, RJ, thank you for joining us today. And not too long ago, we were talking about how McDonald's was rolling out Happy Meals for adults. And it was a pure nostalgia play to kind of connect them to the good old days of getting a Happy Meal when they were a kid. But it turns out that adults do take advantage of kids' meals, that has nothing to do with nostalgia.
I think you're right, Rob. I think McDonald's may have been ahead of their time on this one. And it's certainly a trend that we've observed alongside some other data partners as well. Certainly, I think we have seen an increase in the number of adults ordering things off the children's menus. And I really think there's two concurrent trends taking place here. One, I do think we've seen a shift towards healthier and better for you lifestyles in 2025. And as a result, maybe people are looking for smaller portions, a way to balance, maybe not a full meal and something more snack sized. At the same time, we've discussed some things on the macro side of things as well. And from our pricing standpoint, too, obviously, this is more economical for a lot of people as well. So not a surprise to see this trend. And I think it's something we're going to continue to see and potentially even restaurants market to that in the future.
And for the longest time, there's been a real push and pull over portion sizes in adult meals. And you may recall a couple of years ago when someone decided to video themselves with a cell phone of them berating a Chipotle customer because they felt that their portion was too small. So in adult meals, it seems like you can't really skimp on portion size. But if you want to have what used to be an adult-sized meal, you can actually find it, ironically, in the kids' meal.
Yeah, I think you're right there, too. Obviously, portion size has been a sensitive topic, particularly in this time of inflation the last couple of years. People are looking, if they're going to pay a certain price for things, they're looking to get the full value out of that, too. So I think this could be, in a lot of ways, an opportunity for restaurant companies, too, to maybe find a middle ground between, ordering something like a kid's meal and the full portion size, maybe a half portion, things like that. It gives companies more flexibility. It does add more complexity, which is why we haven't seen it much. But I do think there's an opportunity to find a middle ground and perhaps appease consumers in that way.
Now, is this an opportunity for companies to start marketing their kids' meals specifically to adults, or maybe give them a kids' meal option that has the same portion size and maybe the same price point, but doesn't necessarily come with the toy?
Question. And then, it may be an opportunity in the future here. I mean, to your point, I think the only situation we've had where QSR or quick service restaurant company was directly marketing a Happy Meal or kids meal to adults was the nostalgia play that you mentioned a couple of years ago. But I think this could open up an opportunity. Wouldn't be surprised, especially in this day and age of some innovative marketing tactics. I think this could be something that you could be onto something here, and we might start to see some of that in the back half of the year.
RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Palo Alto-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Thank you for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next, Hertz and Amazon are teaming up for a new venture.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Car rental giant Hertz is partnering with online powerhouse Amazon to sell pre-owned vehicles. Let's get the details from John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Auto Line.tv in Detroit. John, thank you for joining us today. And how does this differ from the usual way in which car rental companies cycle out older vehicles in their fleet?
Yeah, usually the rental companies have their own outlets where you can go and shop and buy their used cars. Now what Hertz is doing is allowing Amazon to post that inventory on the Amazon Auto site, you know, which is a sub-site of the big Amazon site. But, Rob, it goes beyond that. It's also with Hyundai. Hyundai is putting used and certified pre-owned vehicles on Amazon site as well. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see other automakers jump on board.
The Hertz cars are available right now in this pilot program, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, and Seattle. But it seems like the much larger issue here is it seems like if this catches, that the car dealership model that we're familiar with will begin to break down as more and more people gravitate towards buying a car online without having to step foot into a dealership.
No, actually, these are Hyundai dealerships that are putting their inventory on the Amazon site. You know, the rules and regulations are a little bit looser when it comes to used cars. I mean, Amazon or anybody else pretty much cannot sell new cars without going through a dealership. You know, Tesla and the other EV startups have had a big fight with franchise dealerships over this. So for now, at least, all Amazon is doing is telling Hyundai dealers they can post their inventory on Amazon, and they're doing the same thing with Hertz.
However, it seems like, you know, given the way the rules are now, you talk about how you have to abide by these franchise agreements, but there are, you know, the EV companies, Tesla, the biggest one, Carvana, there are more and more sites and apps that kind of encourage that one-click online car ordering and car shopping. So does that appear to be the wave of the future?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, we've all become used to buying things online. We've all been used to, you know, checking it all out, seeing what the reviews are, click here, boom, you bought it. It's very easy. And so a lot of customers are going to be very interested in being able to buy, in this case, used cars online.
And when it comes to Hertz's inventory at big airports, how many cars do they put on the market typically at a place like a Seattle or a Houston?
You know, that's a good question. I couldn't tell you that off the top of my head. What I can tell you is this. Rental companies like Hertz and Avis and Enterprise and the rest of them make their money not by renting cars, but by selling them. So they buy a new car, they rent it out, that pays for all the depreciation. They typically sell it before or around it's got 30,000 miles on it. Takes them about 6 to 8 months to rack up that many miles, and then they sell them. And since you, the renter, paid for all that depreciation, whatever they sell it for is pure profit.
John McElroy, automotive industry analyst, host of Autoline.tv in Detroit. Thank you for joining us today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Markets are lower once again. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director of Clearstead Advisors in New York. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like the profit taking continues, especially in the tech sector.
Yeah, I think it's basically two issues here. The first is nervousness around Powell's speech on Friday. The market is assuming two interest rate cuts this year, and he might not indicate that he's fully on board a September cut yet. And while that may be the right fundamental thing to do, it could cause some transitory weakness in the markets. So I think that's some of the effect. And the second is that September is historically a weak month, and you've had a huge run-up in technology stocks. And so I think you're having some profit-taking ahead of anticipated weakness in September. But most of the correction is in technology. The rest of the market is not terribly weak. And I think we'll get through Friday. We'll get through Powell. The economy continues to grow at a 2% kind of rate this quarter. The Atlanta Fed is at a 2.1% rate. Inflation is likely to accelerate over the next few months because of tariffs, and so any rate increases should be moderate, but we should get at least one decrease. Corporate profits were excellent in the second quarter and should continue strong in the third quarter. So I would view any weakness as a buying opportunity, particularly in the tech sector, which is a powerful long-term story.
On the Fed front, we do get the minutes from the last Fed meeting, which should be an interesting read in that for the first time in 32 years, you had some governors dissenting on an interest rate decision. So it would be very interesting to see what those deliberations were.
Yes, absolutely. And you might even get more dissent in the upcoming meeting if, in fact, there is no cut, because Trump is pushing hard to get his new nominee approved and on the board before that September meeting. And that would lead to three dissents if, in fact, there were no cuts. So we may be in a world of dissents here, but I think we can live with that because we're in a situation where the facts are not so clear as to how much coolness you're getting in the labor market and how much inflation you're getting due to tariffs. So it might be a time for rational debate rather than unanimous consent.
And the other thing that's happening this week on the Fed front, of course, is the central bankers meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And there will be a speech from Fed Chair Powell coming out on Friday. And what's interesting about this is just how guarded and measured he is in his commentary and also in his personal life. There was a story that came out in the Wall Street Journal a couple of years ago that said that Chairman Powell no longer goes out to dinner with his wife because when he's out to dinner, everyone around him is, you know, craning their necks and trying to get their ears close to the table to see if they can divine any clues about interest rates from what he says over dinner. So what are the bankers going to say over dinner and what can we expect on Friday?
Yeah, I think he's going to be cautious. As you just said, he's cautious by nature. I think he wants to defend the independence of the Fed and not appear to be collapsing to Trump's pressure. But I think he will indicate that the next move is down. And the question is when. So I think it'll be a satisfactory financial response, an economic response, but it may lead to some short-term emotional reaction in the market negatively to those who are anxious for two cuts or more this year. But I think he'll be guarded, And I think he's going to go out of his way not to surprise the markets or upset the markets, although I think the markets are likely to be transitorily a little bit upset if he's not dovish enough.
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director of Clearstead Advisors in New York, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, we'll talk about people starting their careers and tipping that work-life balance towards living at home.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. An overwhelming number of new college grads want jobs close to home, prioritizing family ties, work-life balance, and saving money on rent over relocation. We welcome in Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert with the Robert Half Company in Chicago. Michelle, thanks for joining us today. And I think it's living in Chicago, we have a different perspective on this phenomenon, because if you're born in the Chicago area, you have grown up in the Chicago area, maybe you went away for school, you're not necessarily being a homebody if you want to live and work in the Chicago area, because Chicago is one of the largest economies in the country.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great city to live in. It's a great city to work in. And, you know, some of the best companies and industries are represented right here downtown.
But if no matter how old you are or when you got that first out of college job, you start to face decisions in your life that you didn't really anticipate when you were in school. And where should I live and what kind of arrangement should I have is the one that a lot of college seniors don't necessarily think about, but it is the first big one they make upon graduating and getting that job.
Absolutely. You know, working in a big city is certainly very exciting, but living in a big city is something you have to really toil with as far as, you know, housing costs and where to live, roommate, no roommate, et cetera. And so there are lots of things that go into those factors while they're also just trying to land that first job.
And it seems like for a lot of people, even though they have that first job, maybe they'll call on their parents and ask and see, is my old room still available? You haven't remodeled it yet and turned it into an office, because maybe they just move back in with their parents for 6 months or longer just to save some money to apply towards rent for that really cool apartment.
No, for sure. What we are seeing is a lot of recent college grads are opting to, you know, live at home or even stay very close to home as they land that first job. And it's, you know, not only is it about the work-life balance and being closer to family, but it's about that financial security. You know, they want to make sure that they're saving as much money as they can, because, you know, we continue to see rising housing costs, and they just want to make sure that they set themselves up successfully when they do choose that first apartment or that first home or, you know, whatever it might be.
And on the work-life balance component, if you are just out of school and maybe you're in a relationship, but you're not married and chances are you don't have any kids, this is the time in your career when you're expected to really, you know, buckle down and put the hours in and impress. But, you know, so what is work-life balance for a 22 or a 23-year-old?
Well, it's really interesting, because this to them is kind of a benefit or a perk of the job that they choose. Some recent data and research that we did, for the first time in 5 years, we are seeing things like flexibility and benefits and perks being more important to job seekers than straight out salary or pay. And so they care about things like health care or time off, mental health support, flexibility in their work schedules. That's become a lot more important to them. And so that work-life balance piece, you know, as an employer, you've really got to be willing to offer that to secure this graduating talent.
If we were having this conversation 3 or 4 years ago, that seems like a really easy thing to negotiate. But do they still have that leverage today?
Well, it's getting a little bit more difficult, right? More people are kind of sitting tight in jobs. And so, you know, while there is still great demand and need out there, you know, those openings are a little tighter now. And so while you're right, 4 or 5 years ago, they could demand some of that. Now they're just kind of maybe negotiating more of it or seeking out those companies that do offer it versus those that don't.
Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert with the Robert Half Company in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday, and still to come, tips on safely throwing out old electronic devices.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Before discarding old devices, experts warn that you need to make sure you erase all of your personal data. Joining us with some advice is Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout, author of the book Swiped, based in Nashville, Tennessee. Adam, thank you for joining us today. And this is something, I know this is something that I'm dealing with. This is something that a lot of other people are dealing with. And that is, you have all these old laptops here, there, and everywhere in your home. And you don't know what to do with them because you can't just throw them away. Because if you do, it's an inviting, even in the garbage can, Adam, it's an inviting target for identity thieves.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, think of all the information that's on there. I mean, you have contacts, messages, photos, financial information. It could be the gateway to the way you do business. This is the way you connect to the company you work for. Email, social media account information, all that. Connections, permissions. I mean, it's terrifying the amount of information you have. So whether it's your phone, your laptop, your PC, or your printer, don't forget that that information is there, it's on a hard drive, and even if you save it in the cloud, that doesn't mean it's still not on the device. So that's why you absolutely positively have to wipe it before you either give it away or sell it or give it to a charity, because that's really the best way you can protect yourself from becoming a victim based on information on these devices.
Now, Adam, this is something I'm dealing with. I have a laptop from a couple of years ago. It just up and died. You can't turn it on anymore. It is essentially a paperweight. If that is the case, if you have a device that is just dead as a doornail, do you have to go through those steps, or can you just find an electronics recycler and send it on its way?
Well, one of the things you could do, if it's a device that you figure you're not going to get any money for anyway, is literally take a sledgehammer to it and make sure that it not only is dead as a doornail, but it basically is no longer even anything. So you may want to do that. I mean, you never can underestimate the ability of someone with sensitive technical knowledge who can figure out a way to get into that device and bring it back to life.
Now, are there reputable services that will help you wipe your devices before you recycle them?
Well, first of all, if it's an Apple product, you can take it back to an Apple store. You can also take it to a number of the mobile device providers. But there are companies that are out there which you just need to do a little bit of research. And there is specific software you can get that will wipe something absolutely clean with no chance that anyone is going to find anything on it.
Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout, author of the book Swiped in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Donor-advised funds from DAFGiving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.